Praise the Lord. Glad to be here this morning. For those of you who are not a bit new with me, I've been here many times, so I'm not really a guest as such. I'm an old friend of this fellowship. And it's been a joy to know you and to fellowship with you more and more as I come and visit you. Before I share, and I would like for you to open the book of Genesis, chapter 26, as well, we'll be sharing from. But as you do that, I want to share a little bit, just 2 minutes or so, and share about what God is doing in my life so that you can pray for me. I know some of you have been keeping in touch through the social media, and you've been praying for me, and I really appreciate it. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate your prayers. And before I forget also, I have my new book. I promised the last time I was here a year ago that my book was almost ready, so I have it somewhere there on the book table, and goes for a donation of $12. And I know it will be really a blessing for you. When I was writing it, it blessed me, and I know it will bless you as well. Amen. Actually, it's more of a detailed message that I preached here in this church a few years ago. I preached a message called Leaving Behind a Righteous Legacy. And so that book is called Leaving Behind a Righteous Legacy. And the idea is that you live in such a way that when you go to be with Jesus, your life will continue here on earth as though nothing happened. You know, just like I was told, you had a funeral service yesterday. And when we say goodbye to our loved ones, we, you know, it's painful and so on and so forth. But if they've been living lives that have been impacting other people, then their lives will continue in the lives of those they have touched. Amen. So my book emphasizes that by God's grace, you will live in such a way that other generations will benefit just because you lived. Amen? Amen? And that's my prayer for each and every one of you. So we have those books there. But anyway, right now, since you saw me last year, I was able to go to Kenya and Uganda and also Rwanda and Congo last year. It was kind of special. The other places I've been before, but the one in Congo, I have always gone to Congo to one place, but this time I went to the interior among people that are one of the most marginalized people, rejected and looked down by other people. Actually, we have people in Congo, when they speak about the pygmies of the Congo, they will say like this, they will say, oh, I met two men and two pygmies. In other words, two people, and these are not people, and that kind of an idea. And they kept telling them they are not people, so much so that some of them in the woods, when they are coming out to meet the normal tall people, they will say, oh, we're going to the people with brains. They have been told so many times, you don't have brains, you don't think, until some of them believed we are useless, we don't think. So we are reaching those people to tell them that Jesus loves them and they have brains, amen. And that they are equal to everybody else, and that God can use them. And it's wonderful to see them come into the Lord. I had the joy of praying to some of them to come to the kingdom of God this last year, and it's just wonderful. So please keep praying for us. I'm going back in just a few weeks. I'll be leaving again the month of April, mid-April to mid-May, a whole month. I will be in Kenya, then Rwanda, then Congo. So please, if you could pray for me. This time I'm going for graduations of our Bible school students. We'll be graduating over 200 preachers. And so that's the way I multiply myself. Amen. You see, I've talked about leaving behind a righteous legacy. That's the way I want to leave my legacy, that way. About 3 years ago, I graduated about 300 preachers. And now we are graduating 200 preachers in April and another in late July. We are going back again now. We'll go to Uganda, we'll go to Kenya, Uganda, and Burundi in July. And we'll graduate another 150 people. So the total of those two graduations and the other one, that's close to 500 preachers. Amen. And so it's a joy that when I'll be gone to heaven, there'll be 500 preachers somewhere doing the gospel. Amen. So that's for those of you who pray for this ministry and who support us from time to time, please know that something good is happening. Amen. And so I want to thank this church. You have stood with me in prayer and financial support, and I want to tell you really, it's working. Somebody is being touched, lives are being changed, and something good is happening. Amen. I want us now to go to the message in Genesis 26. And I want to invite you to stand up as I read the scriptures. And I want to call this message sowing and harvesting or reaping even in time, in tough times when you are not supposed to be harvesting. Sowing and reaping in times that are rough, in the times of famine, in times of the drought. The Bible says there was a famine from verse 1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Then he gives a reason, one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons. He says, "Because Abraham," that is your father, "obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And I'll skip you down there and go to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land, that is in the land of Gerar, in that land, and reaped in the same year. The time when others were dying, when there was famine and drought, he himself, he sowed and reaped the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Verse 13 says, "Then the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he came to be very prosperous." Somebody say amen. Amen. "For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of the servants, so the Philistines envied him." The people around him didn't like it very much. Verse 15, "Now the Philistines had stopped up the wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac," Abimelech is now the king of the Philistines, "said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the well of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham." Remember the word legacy I'm talking about. "In the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. And the herdsman of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsman, saying, 'The water is ours.'" Remember, those wells were owned by Abraham. He had his own legacy there. "But the enemy said, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the place of the well Isaac, because they quarreled with him. And they dug another well, and they quarreled again over that one also. So he called his name Sitna." We have Isaac and Sitna. "And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over this one. So he called his name Rehoboth." Somebody say Rehoboth. Rehoboth. Important to understand that one. "Because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug yet another well. Then the king Abimelech came to him and Gerar with some of his friends, Ahuza, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, 'Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?' They said, 'We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. Now, this is a testimony from sinners, from people who didn't like him. We have seen that the Lord is with you. So we say, let us now be an oath between between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. So he came and wanted to have a covenant. Let me skip a few verses because of time here and just go on to verse 32. Verse 32, it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him about the well which they had dug and said to him, we have found water. So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of that city is Beersheba to this day. Precious Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray the Lord you will speak to your people in a very special way. Dear Lord, I pray that this will not be just another message, but that, Lord, by your grace, you're going to speak to us, to touch us, and that your presence will be real, will be evident in the lives of these precious people. They will sense your touch and your presence than ever before. And, Lord, that when we leave here, we will say, indeed, we have met with the Lord. May we also experience a Rehoboth in this place, a Beersheba. That your grace will be upon us, that we'll be enlarged, we'll be prosperous. We ask it and believe it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's be seated.
You need to hold the microphone from near the head.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm holding the mic the wrong way. I'm always being reminded. Now at least you can hear me well. Amen. Now listen, this message, I'm calling it Sowing and Harvesting. Or reaping, even in tough times. You see, there's none of us that lives a time without challenges all the time. Because that's not the way life is. Life has challenges. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you ever live, there will always be challenges. Now, God found Isaac in a situation that was very tough. And he tells him, I will bless you in this situation. What was happening? There was drought. Some of the versions of the Bible will say not just the famine, but a drought. There was no rain. And God comes and finds him in the situation of the rain. And he tells him, I want you to start farming here and sowing in this land. When he was looking around his wherever he was, he found so-and-so is not farming. So-and-so is not sowing. And of course, the temptation was like, Lord, this is not the season for sowing. We don't sow in this kind of a situation, not this kind of a weather, when it's drought. And I want to begin right there because it's important. And God told him, I am telling you, it's you. You remember, he told him, I will bless you in this place where you are. So I want to begin right there that when God is about to bless you, he speaks directly to us. Earlier on in the service, I told the congregation, when God speaks to us, he speaks to us like his children, not like his grandchildren. You see, with the kids that were being prayed for here by Pastor Drew, I'm sure some of you are their grandmothers and grandfathers, and you're happy. I am, by the way, I just became a four-time grandfather since you saw me last here. So I have four grandkids, and it's wonderful. So I have grandkids. But when it comes to God, the Bible says, as many as received him, Jesus, he gives us the power to become the children of God. You and I are sons and daughters to the King. And when he speaks to us directly. Somebody say, God speaks to me as a son and a daughter directly. Amen. We need to understand that. So he came to Isaac, and everybody around him, nobody is sowing because they are waiting for the rain, they are waiting for the right season. Listen to me this morning. In the kingdom of God, there are no wrong and right seasons as long as the presence of the Lord is there. I want to get that. In the kingdom of God, there are no wrong or right reasons as seasons as long as the presence of the Lord is there. As long as you have the presence of the Lord and God is walking with you, other people around you may have the drought and the famine, but you will have his presence with you and you are going to sow and have a harvest. And listen to me. When that harvest comes, it's not coming a little bit because there was no rain. No, the Bible says he sowed. In verse 12, if you read it in your Bible, verse 12, it says, the man sowed in the land during the drought and harvested a hundredfold. Hallelujah. How many are looking for a hundredfold blessing? Amen. It does not go with whether it's raining or not. That's not the situation, because that's our problem. And sometimes because of the people surrounding us, the situation surrounding us, the temptation is to go along and to blend in and to what the others are doing. Isaac, God told him, I'm going to bless you. It is you that I'm going to bless. But as I bless you, I want you to understand you are calling in me. It is you that I'm going to use. So you have to sow and you're going to reap because I'm speaking to you directly. God speaks to his children directly. And every one of you, I want to encourage you in case you've been discouraged. See, this message is for somebody who has been sowing for a while and you have not found a harvest and you are feeling like giving up because you have not harvested. I came to tell you, keep on sowing. Whether in the area of serving the Lord in the church, whether it is your tithes and offerings, don't you give up, because God is about to come through for you and give you a powerful harvest in this place. But he tells you, remain in Gerar. He told Isaac, listen here. Your father made a mistake and went to Egypt seeking for his blessings. He said that when you look around here, you see the drought and the famine, but I am with you. I'm the supply. I'm your Jehovah Jireh. So I don't want you to go anywhere. I will bless you in this place. My prophetic voice for every one of you children of God in this place, remain here. Remain in Gerar. Remain in the place that God has called in your calling, and God will prosper you in that place. You may look around and nothing is happening, but if you're walking in the Lord and his will, he's going to come through for you. Hallelujah! Isaac, remain in Gerar. Don't you move to Egypt. Don't you make the same mistake that your father made. But he said, however, because of your spiritual heritage, being a child of Abraham, I will bless you. See, it is important the people you relate with. It is important who you relate with in life. There are some people that you will be blessed because of them, or you'll be cursed because of them. The choice is yours. I don't just walk with everybody. I make choices. I have friends of mine that we have known each other for like a friend of mine, Dr. Njuguna. We've been friends from 1973. That's many years. Some of you are not born. Not some, most of you. We're friends. We continue being friends. There are some friends that I've kept like that. And yet there are some friends that come to my life and I let them go very quickly, because they are not speaking life into my life. Listen, I said it, and I want to repeat in the earlier service, I said, there are some friends in your life that you need to let go. Because it's better to have 20 friends that will speak life to you, you speak life to each other, and that will grow, than having a lot of friends that are negative and pulling you down. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, just last year, one boy wrote to me on my Facebook, and he said, would you please give me some money for such and such a project. I didn't have that money because I told him, I said, listen, I'm sponsoring a few people in such and such school and so on and so forth. I'm coming to Africa to do this mission work and so on and so forth. I said, I would love to, and if the Lord blesses me in the future, I'll see what I can do. He said, no, you are a rich preacher. You are a big bishop. You should give me money. And he continued. And, you know, immediately, the good thing about social media, there are two things you can do. Delete, block. Quickly. Delete, block. Amen. There are some friends in life to delete and block. Let them go. Let them be God forever. No problem. Because you are so busy in the kingdom to dwell in negativity and foolishness. Amen. There are some people you don't want to dwell with because they'll drag you down into their mess. Amen. There are some people, I mean, I've been blessed. Even just this last month, I sent some funding to Africa. There's a boy that I have been sponsoring in Burundi and another one in Gambia that is in school. So I want, you know, and I'm blessing them, but I am not the savior of the world. Jesus is the savior of the world. Amen. There are some people who will make you feel like you are the savior of the world. They'll make you feel guilty because you didn't do this and the other project. You cannot solve everybody's problem. Hallelujah. So watch out. Some of the friends will pull you down because they want you to do this. You know, there are some friends who just cut off, delete, block, and keep going. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's important. And we see that in this fellow here, Isaac, when they bothered him, he read the story. He didn't have time for arguments. He didn't have time for arguments at all. Twice they took the wells that he had dug. Now listen, Isaac could have argued and correctly so. Why? Because the two wells he had dug were formerly his father's property. He was not stealing from them. Abraham had been in Gerar before, dug those wells, and that was his property. So this was his inheritance. But he realized, I don't depend upon people and their lives. I depend upon Jehovah Jireh. My source of supply is Jehovah Jireh. My God shall supply all my needs, not according to the Philistines, not according to the king and the people around me, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if God could open one well, he can open another well. And so he was just, he said, you take the well. The first time they took it, Sitna and Ezek. He said, you take it. It's all right with me. I will continue believing in God. Now note this. When you stand in the calling that God has called you and hold on to the promises of God, in spite of what is surrounding you, you will still harvest. There will be something good coming to you because of your faith in God. But you have to hold on and you have to be steadfast. Amen. You have to hold on to what God has called you. Isaac remembered what God has told him. See, when this the Philistine king and the enemies came and spoke negativity to him, he would have concentrated on that, but he remembered. God told him, remain in the land, remain in Gerar, and I will bless you. See, that's important for each and every one of us. He does not tell us to compare notes. He did not tell them, I will bless you if they don't oppose you. I will bless you if they don't take your stuff from you. But God told him, I will bless you. He took that and held on to it. He started making, I can almost see him making a confession. I don't care what they say. I don't care whether they take the first and the second well. I'm going to stand and believe in what God has said about my life. God said, I'm going to be prosperous in this land. I'm not going anywhere. They may take the land, but I'm going to be prosperous. You have to watch even your mindset and what you say. Because people can start making you say what they want you to say. See, they were looking for him to start saying, oh, the well is so and so, my father had so. No. He remembered that God told me to dwell in Gerar and he will bless me. Hallelujah. Look, if you read very carefully, you notice I was looking through the scriptures to see he didn't even complain. The first place we find, and we're learning about perseverance, is that he is quiet and they take, the first well is called Ezek, which means quarreling. So they came with quarrels in verse 19. And then the next one is called the well of Sitna, which means accusation. So there was quarreling and accusation. And in both situations, we don't find him arguing with them. I have no time to struggle with the sinners. Because most of the times, you know, like that young fellow I was telling you about, he didn't want to hear what I was doing in the funding. He didn't care that I was sponsoring so many people. He didn't care that like this year, we'll graduate in over 200 preachers. That was all he was concerned about himself. I have no time for those kind of things. But I have time to do that which God has called me to do. Listen to me this morning. You got to concentrate in the in the purpose that God has given you in life. And in the process, there'll be people who will challenge you. There are people who come against you, but you have to stand your ground in the faith, like Isaac, and keep going in spite of Isaac and Etna. Amen. They will come. I don't promise that, this morning I gave you that verse, Psalms 23. You know it, this verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't mean that the valley will not come. The valleys will come, but it says I walk through. Hallelujah. God has not said that he is going to remove the valley experiences. There will be valley experiences. He will allow valley experiences. And don't you get discouraged when the valleys come, because the valleys will come. Amen? The valleys will come. They will come in your life. And every one of you are children of God, even those of you who got saved recently and you are feeling like, oh, this is too rough. I don't know when I'm going to make it. Every child of God goes through them valleys. But the important thing is you will go through. And even in that verse, it says, after you go through, you'll find the anointing well. He will anoint you with oil. And the Bible says, my cup runneth over. And not only that, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me after the valley. Hallelujah. So what is it that you're going through? What is it that you have gone through in the past? What challenges are you right now? I came here to prophetically tell you, you are going to make it. You are going to harvest. It's not the end. The pains, the sorrows are not the end. God is coming through for you. Somebody say amen. It's going to be for you. The Isaac will come. The Sitna will come. See, the important thing is to know God's will for your individual life. Know God's will for individual life. You see, what made Isaac, even though they opposed him twice, what made him continue is, first of all, he refused to listen to the enemy, what the enemy had to say, strive and so on and so forth. He refused to talk about arguments, but he believed that God had sent him to that dry places for a purpose, for a reason. Listen to me. Every dry season in your life has a purpose. See, we lost a brother who was from this area, Andrew Crouch, who passed on a while ago. He sang a song when I was a little boy. And I remember when I came all the way and we sang it in Africa. He said, you know, I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the mountains. And he said, I thank God for every challenge I see. Because if I didn't have those challenges, I would never have known that there's a God that solves problems. And it's important to know that there's a God. And he allows those things for a reason, for a purpose. Now, you see, the devil does not control anything in a Christian's life. You know, sometimes we are so afraid, oh, the devil. No. There is nothing that the devil will ever do unless the Father allows it. Satan has no power at all. I have heard some people talk about demons can. You are secure in the hands of Jesus Christ. Listen, one time I was in Singapore. I was walking down the road with a friend of mine from West Africa, Ghana. We had gone there for leadership training, 1991. We're going down the road, and Singapore is one of the cleanest places on the face of the earth. You know, most people think America is the cleanest place, you know, of course, because, you know, we're a big country. But it's a tiny little country, but it's very clean everywhere. Actually, as you arrive on the plane, they come on and announce, please, you are entering Singapore, put your chewing gum in your suitcases, because they don't allow you to chew gum in the airport. It's against the law to chew gum. That's how clean they want. You can't chew gum in the airport in Singapore. Anyway, we are in this very little country, and I'm walking down the road, and I see a very beautiful structure on the wall of one of the houses. Looks like a basket and something, flowers. And I'm thinking, what is that? And I'm coming closer. I see milk and some fruits outside the house. I'm thinking, what is milk and fruits doing on the wall? And then it occurred to me as I was walking, oh, this is a shrine of their gods. It's like that's a temple, a little shrine where they worship. And so they bring the fruit to their god that morning. And so I'm walking towards this, and my friend from Ghana panics. He says, Armstrong, don't go there. You see, he was from an area in West Africa that has a lot of demonic stuff, witchcraft and sorcery. So he told, down there, the demons might come, jump on you. And I didn't stop. I just went. That made me even be more bold, you know, kind of like, ah! So I'm just like, I went closer now to this thing and was watching it. You know why I was doing that? Because the devil cannot touch me. I'm a prince. I belong to as many as receive Jesus. He gives them the power to become the children of God. I'm a child of the King. The devil cannot touch me. Hallelujah. I didn't even have to pray about it. Oh my goodness, those demons cannot touch Armstrong. I'm a child of the King. And so, like you, this is the idea that Isaac understood in that scripture. The king is opposing him, the people around him, but he remembered God said, dwell in this land and I will bless you. See, the blessing of God is not determined by the circumstances and the situations around you. The blessing of God is based on our obedience in him. Remember, he reminded him. He said, I'm blessing you also because your father obeyed my commandments. So you see, the blessing is also hinged on how much I will obey the Lord. So listen to me this morning. As you keep on sowing, God wants you to walk in obedience. Somebody say obedience. Obedience. Remember that old song, trust and obey? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So learn to obey, because that's one of the keys that will unlock the doors of provision for your life. And God told him the same. He said, if you obey me like your father did, I'm going to bless you in this country. He told him, don't even go seeking better places where they have a river Nile and everything in Egypt. No. Right here in the midst of the storms and the drought where nothing is growing for other people, you are going to prosper if you obey me. Hallelujah. Your key is to be faithful and obedient to the Lord. And when you keep on sowing, you will prosper. Hallelujah. Now, does that mean that Esek will not happen? Esek and Sitna will happen. People, negative people, there is no way you'll keep people away from who are negative. But God will give you prosperity. Remember Nehemiah in the Old Testament? The Bible says that Nehemiah, while he's building the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, people came against him. But that's the only place also we have one of the most strong phrases in the Bible. He turned to them and he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, fight as much as you can, oppose me as much as you can, but I'm going to be joyful and praise the Lord. We see that also in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when the enemies come against Israel. And the Bible says, Jehoshaphat looked around and first of all, he was afraid for a while. Sometimes you fear like, oh my goodness, this is too much for me. But you remember the Bible says he looked on the Lord. He says, my eyes are upon you. And God tells him, face the enemy. And all these people coming against him, the Bible says, when they got there, they faced the enemy. Instead of fighting, they started praising the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, if you really understand who you are in Jesus Christ, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the drought, in the midst of the fights against you, you will be able to rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So with Jehoshaphat, the Bible says they started dancing and praising the Lord, and the victory came. Hallelujah. Listen to me. There will be battles in 2017. There is no time without the Essex, the shootness will be there. But God has promised to give us victory and give us in a big way. We will overwhelmingly conquer. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says this. If God did not hold on to Jesus, but he delivered him for us all, then the Bible has a question. Won't he with him also give us how many things? All things. Hallelujah. Jesus was the best in heaven. And God delivered him for us, gave him as our gift. So Paul is saying, if God can give us Jesus, then what is that little car you want? What is that little business you want? What is that little healing you desire? Everything else is a less gift than the gift of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I hope you get this. This is very important. Jesus, and God, read for yourself Romans 8:32. Jesus was delivered as a gift to us. So Paul is saying, if God could give Jesus, then what is that school fees you desire? What is that little house you desire? What is that little car you desire? He will be willing to give you more than you desire. Hallelujah! And then somebody says, oh, but probably my desire is wrong. I tell you this. See, God is not a liar when he says he will give us our desires. But what you're going to do is this. As you know the Lord and seek his will, eventually, like what the pastor talked about the Bible, when you take the Bible and feast upon the word of God, eventually that word of God changes you. It changes from glory to glory, so much so that you start having the mind of God. Remember when Paul says, we now have the mind of Christ? So God is changing you from glory to glory by his word. As you obey his word, he changes you so much so when you start now praying, you pray in his will. And that's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you pray in his will. So now your desire becomes the desires. And so those things you desire, they are supplied for you. Now listen, one time as a little boy walking through the woods of Africa, the idea came that I would come to America. Now you see, when you are in the heart of Africa and without shoes and you are going to school, walking 6 miles to school and you are saying you are going to America, that's like saying I'm going to heaven right now physically, you know, kind of. And sure enough, some of my villagers, some of my friends, I mean, made fun of me. But you see, I had come to understand my place in the kingdom of God. When you know who you are in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And you have to choose which voice to listen to. Because many voices will be negative around you. Read Isaac's story, you find that there were negative voices all around him, but he refused to listen to them. He listened to the one voice that told him, dwell in the land and I'll give you prosperity. Hallelujah. I prophesy to you this morning that as you obey God and walk in his will, you shall prosper whether the enemy wants it or not, whether your enemies want it or not, whether people who don't like you want it or not. God will open doors of prosperity in your life and you will prosper. Listen, the scripture says here, that man, the man says, the verse 13, the man began to prosper. In spite of the drought, instead of the negativity of the people around him, the man began to prosper and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That is you. I want you to claim that for your own. And don't you compare, because that's why we make a mistake. We start comparing with each other. You look into another brother, he's blessed, you know, in the worship or whatever else, you say, oh, if I only could become like him. See, God did not tell Isaac, I will bless you like I'll bless you and so. He says, I will bless you. It is directed to you individually and personally, and you got to receive it for yourself. Hallelujah. So as you leave this church this morning, I want you to understand this, and I want, please take it very seriously. I'm not just speaking to you as a group. I want you to see God speaking to you and know he knows your name and your address. You know, one time in Africa, I was preaching. And I had been teaching people on prayer and fasting and spiritual warfare. And then one guy that I did not even know was being prayed for in another place. And they said that he had demons, you know, so the demons were being casted of this guy. Come out in Jesus' name. And for a while, they didn't want to come. They were struggling. But before they came, they mentioned my name. And the guy that had demons, this preacher said, how do you know Armstrong? Oh, then the demon said, because we know him and we hate him. See, I didn't know them, but you see, the enemy knows. But if you walk with the Lord, they will know. But don't concentrate on that. See, even when I had that, it didn't bother me at all. But they said, we have been trying to kill him, and we can't because every time we want to destroy him and kill him, there is a light that comes and covers him, and we have to run away. I said, hey, man. See, I didn't even know that was happening. All I was doing, I was just serving the Lord. All I was doing was serving the Lord. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what the enemies are doing around you. It doesn't matter what the enemy says around you. Other than again, remember to hold on to the promise of God. What has God said to you? And hold on to that which God has given you. And I'm telling you, it's going to be your healing. You know, sometimes when we've gone to some of these crusades and God will heal and bring a miraculous thing on one person and another one. And I'm thinking, why him? Why him? You see, it's because of how you come. You come by faith and open your heart to receive. You receive. So it doesn't matter whether everybody else does not believe in healing, does not believe in miracles. You come to God believing God will minister to you. Isaac was surrounded by negative people. They were not prospering. They were not even sowing because of the season. They were not sowing. They were not concerned. He kept on sowing and sowing because God had told him, keep on sowing. I will bless you. And the Bible says the man prospered and continued to prosper. I promise you this morning, I speak prophetically upon every child of God here, that you came here tired and weary. You've been waiting upon the Lord for a long time and wondering whether God will come through for you. I promise you in Jesus' name that yes, he will. And he's faithful. And he knows every need. He knows you by your name. And like Isaac, there may be you have gone through Essek and Sitna and feeling like giving up because, hey, this well dried up. The other one they took away. What's going to happen? No, no, no. Keep on believing God. Keep on digging those wells because your well is about to come. Let me conclude with this. Finally, the Bible says, the servants dug two more wells. And one of them is called Rehoboth. Somebody say Rehoboth. Rehoboth means wide open spaces. In other words, after the enemy has tried to push you and squeeze you, God says, no, after you wait long enough, I'm going to give you wide open spaces. Blessings will come every other way until the enemy will not understand. And then Beersheba. Beersheba means a place of servants or the covenant, the oath, the well of the oath. And so God is saying now, I'm going to bring you fulfillment. That which you've been waiting for, your covenant, will be fulfilled for you. So within a moment, with a short time period, all the pain that Isaac had endured was covered with blessings. So much so that the whole nation said, Isaac, you are not only prosperous, you are mightier than we are. Hallelujah. The enemy gave a testimony. Listen to me in your life, prophetically. Those who have laughed at you, oppressed you, and thought negatively about you, they will look one day and they will testify. They will testify that, look, God has blessed him. God has blessed her. There is a blessing that's coming for you. There is a breakthrough that's coming upon your life in 2017, but you have to hold on and believe. If you've been gone through Essek and Sitna, don't you worry, because God, by his grace, will bring Rehoboth. God, by his grace, will bring Sheba in your life, and you'll prosper. Let's stand up and receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to pray quickly. Time is up. But listen. You've been going through Sitna and wondering whether things will work out for you. You don't have to fight. Isaac didn't fight. He remembered that my God is Jehovah Jireh. God has spoken that you bless me. I don't care what anybody says. I believe in what God has said. My work this morning is simple. Is to release that blessing for you by prayer. Amen. So if you want to agree with me, just come quickly here. We want to pray with you and believe God for that which you've been waiting for. Probably you've been struggling for a while, and every time is a Sitna that comes, you know, some Essek that comes. Now we want to claim you are Rehoboth. We want to claim you are Beersheba. We want to claim the blessing, open places for you. Just come now as we pray. Let's believe God with together. Now listen, the Lord knows every one of you. And I told you are his child, you are not his grandchild, you are his direct. You are an heir of everything that was promised in the scriptures. Every blessing. One of the old choruses we used to sing years ago was, at every blessing in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line is yours. And I apologize to the pastor. He had asked me to sing an African song. Time is gone, but come closer. Let's believe God. I'm not going to lay my hands on you because the numbers, but let me tell you something. Jesus' hand is bigger than mine. And that hand is right here. And he is going to touch you and minister to you. I'm going to just to declare the blessing of God and breakthrough upon your life, and you're going to receive it right here and now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lift up your hands and believe, receive. Father, we lift our hands in readiness to receive. We're going to receive because, God, it is you that has promised, just like you promised Isaac. And now we know that we are sons and daughters of the promise. We are sons and daughters of Abraham. We are heirs of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we also believe that if you could deliver the Lord Jesus Christ for us, the best gift in heaven, wouldn't he with him also this morning? Lord, release those funds. Release that health. Release that prosperity. Release that job. Release that financial blessing in the life of this brother and this sister. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God that passes all understanding, release it now in the name of Jesus. God, I release the blessings of God upon your servants. Right now, something marvelous, something great, something wonderful is happening for each and every one of you. And I want you to receive it in your spirits in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak to you life. I speak the blessings of God. I speak healing of the body, of the soul, of the mind, of the family, in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak breakthroughs, 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 mighty breakthroughs upon your lives right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that you will never be the same again. The glory of God is coming and touching you right now. Receive it. Just say, yes, I receive. God is touching you. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you came here to receive, say, I receive it, and mention it in Jesus' name. It's happening right now by faith, and God is touching you in a way that you have never been before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the blessings. We release every blessing upon your people in the name of Jesus. And I pray the Lord, you bless all these church members, Lord, that are here this morning. Bless the leadership. Bless the young people in this church, Lord. Bless the couples in this church. Let them prosper, oh God, like Isaac. That even not only will they testify about it, but even those who hated them and those who spoke against them will see it. And like in Isaac's life, they will say that God has blessed them. We thank you. We declare that you are Jehovah Jireh. And we receive the blessings now. Receive, we receive the blessings. We receive the healing. We receive the miracles. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we bless you now. In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a wonderful hand. Yes, 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 it's done. It's done, it's done, it's done, it's done. God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
Thank you, Bishop. Wow. His opening statement was that we need to receive that we're the sons and daughters of God. It is so important. As he was speaking, the Lord just reminded me of some of the things when Jesus was tempted. Look at the things he's tempted with and tell me if it's not the same thing. Listen, the Bible tells us, as we receive Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters. And then our Father has told us about the enemy, that he is a liar. One of the best sermons I think Pastor Drew's ever preached, it was just dripping with truth. So simple, but just dripping with truth. He's talking about the enemy, and he said every time he speaks, a lie. Every time he speaks, a lie. And what he's trying to do is the same thing he tried to do with Jesus. Listen, he came to Jesus. Remember when Jesus went to pray and he was fasting? He's believing God. He's preparing for the things that God has for him. And he's hungry. And he tells him, he tempts him. He tells him to turn the stones. if you're the Son of God, then turn the stones into bread. And then he wants him to worship. Hey, worship me, and I'll take care of you. He's questioning his identity. Is he a son of God or is he not? He's trying to get him to get his provision from, who's your father? See, he wanted to be the father. He's the father of lies. That's what he's the father of. And death and destruction. And Jesus told him, get out of here. That's what we need to do. A lot more of knowing who we are, the sons and daughters of God. And that we would begin to, that block and delete, that's what Jesus did. He blocked and he deleted them. Do you understand that? Block and delete, block and delete. Jesus knew it was important for him. If important for him, it's important for us. Amen? Everything that's taken place here at Hope has been us in God. Everything. And we haven't even begun. God has such great things for us as a body, has got such great things for this city. Yes. When people come here because of our love for God and God's love for us, they see God. They see him. And we haven't even scratched the surface of letting him be seen as we just obey God, believe God, and trust in God. It's a journey for each one of us that we just stay with the identity that Jesus Christ has given us, who we are. I am who he says I am. And if you've spent any time in the kingdom of God, then you have blocked and deleted or you have failed. Because there are plenty out there who will tell you what you cannot do. People have told us we're crazy. People have told us it's not going to happen. People have told us yada, 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 yada. It don't matter what they say. You know what we would say? No, God said. Stick with God. And all things are possible. But we will block and delete along the way. Amen? Amen? So you just dig your heels in. God's got a wonderful year for us. Regardless of what comes. If we will block and delete, keep our identity in him, and remember he is our Father. Then I loved in the first service, I didn't catch there was some prominent person. Who was it?
Oh, he
Bishop.
Didn't,
I know he didn't share.
One of the presidents.
Okay, so there was some president of some country, and his son comes. Armstrong was sharing this with us, and he wants to get in to see his father. And he says, I want to see daddy. And the guards or whatever said, you want to see the commander-in-chief, the whatever, the whatever, the whatever? And he said, no, I want to see daddy. See, that's us, the God of the universe. You know what? Wherever we're at, he is Abba Father. And we need to see it that way. We don't see it that way. That little boy wasn't intimidated by the titles or the guards or whatever was going on and the importance and the prominence of his father. That was just daddy. And he just needed to see daddy. Amen? And that's us. That's how God views it. That's how God views it. And he gives us that picture as he's our Abba Father, our daddy. Amen? We can get through it. Amen. Awesome. Anything, honey?
You know what? Yeah, just a second. Daddy. Just raise up your hands and say, Daddy. Say, you're my daddy. And I receive what you have for me today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.